Bob and Charlene Steinkamp, founders of Rejoice Marriage Ministries, invite you into their living room in Pompano Beach, Florida, for a telephone conference call. Let's join other men and women from across the land who are seeking God's restoration of their marriage.
I do not know how a guy that lives in Florida can get a cold in the middle of June, but I've managed to do it. So Charlene's going to be doing most of the talking tonight. But we welcome you here, and thanks for giving up an hour of your time this evening, and we're blessed to have you join us. You want to go ahead and introduce our guest and pray, Charlene?
Sure. We're going to be dedicating this evening to all the men standers, as Father's Day is this coming Sunday. And we know that many, many of our men standards do not have it easy. Now, I'm not saying the women do, but I know the men that we work with have had go through a lot of trials and tribulations. Many are needing jobs. Others are not able to see their children regularly, or some are not at all. And children are the victim of divorce of all ages, be it little children or adults. So we're going to pray this very week that we're going to have a huge breakthrough. Not only for all marriages, but for all the men and their spouses this very week, because they walk the walk, and we have some powerful Christian men who are powerful men of God, and we're just praising the Lord for that. And that brings me to Malachi chapter 4:6. And on Monday night Bible study, we always open up with one special scripture, and I picked Malachi chapter 4:6, that he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. Let me introduce our guests for this evening. First, we have Bob from Pennsylvania, and he is, we're thrilled to have all of these guests, and what we're going to do is ask these guests to just share their name, share how they started standing, or if they came to know the Lord during their stand, or God spoke to them to start standing or whatever. Just a 1 or 2 minute description of their stand and where they are, and about who they're praying for, and how many children they may have. So Bob, I'm going to throw it to you first. And since you're a man, I'll throw it to you first.
Okay.
Glad to have you from Pennsylvania.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be on the phone tonight. I've been standing for 3.5 years. I grew up in a Christian home, and been a Christian as long as I remember. And I married a Christian woman, and something abruptly changed really after what I would have described as 22.5 years of really great years of marriage, and the last 3.5 years have been just very difficult. I've been standing from the time it got difficult. I wouldn't have called it that. It just seemed to me that I was called to trust the Lord. And I found Rejoice Marriage Ministries about almost 2 years ago now, and it's been just an incredible help for me, because so many of the things that that I get reinforced every day through Rejoice Marriage Ministries have been things that God revealed to me. You know, some I sort of just knew from being a Christian for 40-some years, but He just revealed to me all these things, and it just, it's been powerful to me as a reinforcement that I wasn't, you know, now that I know so many people are getting the same kind of revelations, it just has really helped me in my stand.
Exactly.
We have 4 children.
Great. As I was just going to ask you. Well, we're thrilled to have you with us, Bob. And next we have Stacy from North Florida.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I have been standing for about 3 years.
Speak up just a little bit.
Speak up a little bit? Okay, sorry. Okay, so my husband and I separated in 2005, and in January of 2006, the Lord gave me a promise during our separation and said that he would come home. And this was way before I knew anything about standing. Then our divorce went through in September of 2006, And I just thought, oh, I didn't hear the Lord correctly. I must be crazy. Because if, you know, God was going to restore our marriage and my husband was going to come home, why would we get divorced? So that was in September of 2006. And then from that time, I was just kind of growing in the Lord and just trying to figure out, you know, really what was I supposed to do. We have two children. And in February of 07, I was just sharing with a friend how I just feel like God keeps saying he's going to restore my marriage, but our divorce is final. And she actually told me about Rejoice Marriage Ministries and your website. So I found the site, and God just continues to confirm it. So that is exciting. Unfortunately, though, my husband is in a non-covenant marriage, and they do have a child that was born recently. So that has been very difficult. And
that was a big circumstance for you, as it is for many, many people that we work with, because they often the other person, as we will talk about tonight, they want that marriage. They want to sever any hopes that you, any stander may have of their marriage being restored. And if the D doesn't do it with the divorce, then they often will do it with the marriage, and thinking that, and what so many of our ministers and pastors and on the radio say, as so many others say, it's just legalizing adultery. And there's many scriptures in the Bible about it, but we've got to say that there's many of our standards that have to walk through this fire of a non-covenant marriage. And when you have a non-covenant marriage, there are also babies that do come and are being born. And that's what we refer to as an Ishmael baby. So Stacy is here tonight to represent that, and has really been searching the scriptures, and she lives in North Florida, but has the commitment and the hunger that she's driven down several times to Pompano Beach Bible Study also. So we've been thrilled to meet her.
Yes, thank you.
And next we have Beatrice, and Beatrice is a very special person in our home, as she worked for us for several years as a secretary with the ministry, and she works with us Monday night when we do Bible study. Beatrice, we're thrilled to have you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you. As you know, my name is Beatrice, and I've been standing for a little while, and the Lord is in control of everything. I have two sons that are in their 20s. One is 20, the other one is 22, and they're all with my husband. My husband and I have been divorced, and my encouragement is for me, for all the men, for them to know that God can do anything. I was never in church. I was never brought up in church or never knew anything. And when I was brought up in school, ladies' school, you know, every time they say, well, we're having a special event, you know, I always was enrolling anything, so I would never have to go to church. So I never went. My family never went. And then after the years went back and I came to live in this country, I never went to church either. So when I finally divorced and I started living all by myself, I had one of the ladies friend of me, you know, they were acquaintances from the school of the children, and when she realized what I have done, she brought me a standard affirmation from the Joyce, you know. So I read it, you know, and I put it away. You know, I still didn't come to church. I didn't know anything. So my relative gave me a Bible, so I started reading, and that's when I started having my eyes open, you know. Mm-hmm. I did came to the Lord first than anything else, and a friend of mine that was introduced by the counselor says, oh, I know about Rejoice, you know, and she says, you meet me over there, and, you know, this and that, and, you know. So I said, okay, I'll give it a try, and you come. And she was reminded me today that she was stunned to see my face when I read in the Bible that day that God hates divorce, you know. That's when the Lord spoke to me, you know. She says, I can never forget your face when you read that, she said to me. So I've been standing since then. The Lord has been growing me in the Word, you know, and I've been involved in my church,
the end, we had a couple come, and the woman spoke only Spanish. Beatrice snuggled up beside her, and she translated Bible. She translated for us many times. But last week, 2 weeks ago tonight, she translated the entire evening for this new lady.
So that was a real blessing, and Beatrice has been very special. Beatrice also mentioned, did not mention, but she was the prodigal in her stand. And
maybe she doesn't want to say it.
Well, we talked about it.
Oh, okay.
But
yes. I said before, this is my testimony is to encourage most all the men, because I was the one that sinned, and I was the one that left the house, and I left even the children with my husband, thinking that they would be okay, you know, because he had the house and the car and everything in it, you know. And I just wanted to have freedom and, you know, live a life, a worldly life, you know, until the Lord spoke to me, and here I am. I was the prodigal, and now I'm the one standing.
Every time someone emails us and says, my story is different, I was the prodigal, I think, oh, they haven't met Beatrice.
So we've been thrilled to know her for many years, and it's just a really blessing to have her with us tonight. And then we have another special guest, which is Beverly. And Beverly we've known for many years. Also, as she comes to our local Bible study, and she also works with us every time we have a Bible study and has done mass mail-outs and everything else in our office also. Beverly, we're thrilled to have you tonight.
Thank you for having me, Bob and Charlene. My pleasure.
Now, could you tell a little bit about yourself?
Yes. I came to know about Rejoice. I've been standing firm for a long while, and I came to know about Rejoice in circumstances of my husband walking out on me and me not really knowing where he was, and I cried out to my God, and he showed up in a big way and has totally blessed my life tremendously, and I have grown so much in coming to know Jesus as my personal Savior. I grew up in church, and my folks always took me to Sunday school and church when I was a kid, but my relationship with Jesus really became very strong with me, and realized how real he was once these circumstances happened with my husband. About 6 months of my husband being gone and me not realizing where he was, the Lord led me to a local church that was doing a marriage seminar, and by the grace of God, the Lord set me right in front of a Christian attorney. God bless this man. And I turned and asked him a couple of questions, and he graciously told me, he said, wait a minute, he said, I need to get you some information. He walked over to a couple that was in the same pew as him, and he came back and he handed me a business card, and I looked down, and it was the card for Rejoice Marriage Ministries. And unbeknownst to me, but in the Lord's timing, the Lord also revealed to me about a year later that the couple that had been in that church sitting in the same row as that Christian attorney, the Christian attorney and his wife had been praying diligently with the woman who had been standing for her husband, and they had a restored marriage. And I was just in awe of how the Lord works and how he continues to uphold us in circumstances that the world would say in my marriage that is a dead marriage. I know that my God, what he has promised me and the things that he has shown me has helped sustain me, and his promises still carry me today.
Amen.
And I give him all the glory.
Amen. Bob, did Jim get connected? I don't think he did. Bob, not in Pennsylvania, but Bob, my husband. But he has to go and work on the other end of this. But we're thrilled to have everyone here tonight. And I want to open up with prayer and go straight into Bible study. And we're thrilled to have everybody here tonight that will be continuing to come in if they're late from work or in the California side of timing. Lord, we just thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for this telephone conference. We just thank you that so many can tune in so quickly and so suddenly. Lord, we just ask that you would just move on everybody's heart, open their spiritual ears, their heart to be fertile, to receive the word. May you open our ears to hear your message. And Lord, we just pray that this will encourage so many people when we get over so many people, where we can only have so many people come locally, but we can go across the United States and around the world, that there are thousands and thousands of people praying for their marriages to be resurrected and restored. And we just praise you that that you are in control of reviving and restoring and resurrecting hurting and dead marriages. Lord, breathe new life into all these marriages as only you can do. Tonight, while we listen and learn and pray, may you go and speak to all these men and women and their spouses, especially their spouses tonight. May you give every man and woman that's a prodigal or has chosen to separate from their spouse, may you give them their own Damascus Road experience with you tonight. Lord, speak so loudly to them that show them the way of escape from the sinful lifestyle they're living. Show them that you can break the chains of sin and that they are in bondage too. Lord, there's so many that even have Christian husbands or wives that have chosen to believe it's all right to separate, it's all right to divorce, it's all right to do this, even though they all may even go to church. Lord, we just pray you would speak the truth to them. Your word, may it just come alive to them. May they open up the Bible and it would fall open to that you hate divorce. Lord, please direct and provide for all of these standards. There's so many of them that need you so much for their spiritual, physical, emotional, and financial needs. And Lord, tonight, as we all pray in agreement, we pray that you will block and stop foreclosures on their home. Meet these people's financial needs as only you can do, and open the doorways of heaven to supply for all of these standards needs in so many ways. Lord, we ask that you would knock down the walls of silence that is so deafening in so many standards marriages. Soften the hearts of stone that have become so hardened, and reignite and rekindle the love in each of the spouses, both the husbands and the wives, of these hurting and dead marriages. Lord, remind this dear standard of the spiritual weapons that we've been teaching for the last 2 weeks in Charlene Cares, that we need to use every one of these weapons each and every day. We're in your army. You are the commander-in-chief, Lord, and we need to use the weapons that you have supplied us with. And Lord, we ask that you would remove any and all, sever, cut, and destroy any and all ungodly relationships that any husband or wife are in, or even their children might be involved in any ungodly friends, relationships. May you sever them if they're not to be our teenagers that are going out, and Lord, just protect them from ungodly relationships. We know nothing is too hard for you, Lord, and we just thank you that you're in control of our entire families. We praise you for all the standards that you are bringing into our living room tonight, and we just ask that you would help us to walk in faith in spite of any and all the circumstances that many of us are going through, as nothing is too hard for you. And we just praise you, Father. We love you, and we just praise you and thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight's teaching is going to be going through the fire, and I'm going to try to be brief because I'm used to teaching for 45 minutes to an hour, so bear with me. But going through the fire is probably what all of you say you're going through. And yesterday at our church, our choir sang Through the Fire by the Crabb family, the C-R-A-B-B family, because I know you're all going to write and say, what family? And it's the Crabb family. And I'm going to read the words, because in our Bible study in Pompano, we always sing 2 to 3 songs. And I'm going to not sing, and we're not going to have music. I'm going to spare you all, but I want to read the words to Through the Fire by the Crabb family. And it says, so many times I've questioned certain circumstances or things I could not understand. And man, when I heard this, I said, this is a standard song. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision, and my frustration gets so out of hand. It's then I'm reminded I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand the test alone. As I look at all the victories, the Spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weaknesses are made strong. And the chorus says, he never promised that the cross would not get heavy, and the hill will not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting. But he said help will always come in time. Just remember, when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again. And it says, the other chorus says, I know within myself that I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, he'll shield the flames again and again. And oh, this just chokes me up so much, because I know all of you that are listening, I know the guests that we have here are all going through the fire. I know our family is going through fires, and you all know our circumstances. Many of you know because you go to our chapel page. And I've got to tell you that we all are going to go through fires, trials, and tribulations for the rest of our lives. But it says to rejoice in the Lord always. And do not be overwhelmed, but just praise the Lord that he is with you through each and every test. And we got an email today that I'm just going to share because it's going to be in our testimony on Friday or Saturday morning. But it's a testimony. It says, I started as a stander, and it's a girl named Tina, but fell somewhere along the path. I was tired of all the attacks the enemy kept throwing at me. I felt defeated. Now, how many can you say, I feel defeated? I've been defeated. I go up like a yo-yo, up and down, or like an EKG. I keep hearing a voice tell me to get up and finish. And I repented and asked the Lord to show me if I was to continue to stand for my husband or if I missed it already. I opened up yesterday's devotional, and it was titled, Never Give Up. I told the Lord, okay, I will continue to stand. And a few hours later, my husband called after months of no contact. That was my confirmation to continue to stand for my spouse. I feel that I can do all things with Christ Jesus. And I wanted to add Philippians 4:19, which says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Now, I want you all to understand that every one of us could, if Bob could unmute all these phones, he would tell you, every one of you could tell me when we were praying like we do at the end of it, our most urgent prayer, you all would have one most urgent prayer of a family member or you or your family, of sickness or of finances or of circumstances with your marriage or with your children. We all go through trials and tribulations. But it's how we walk through the fire. It's how we always know that the Lord is never with us. I think of the Israelites in Exodus chapter 13. And it says, by day, verse 21, Exodus 13, 21, by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. You know what? God is faithful. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And he is right there with you, even if he is silent for a period of time. You just need to keep on talking. You need to keep on praying. You need to keep on reading that Bible. And you need to keep holding on like you're going through the fire, just like that song said. And I played that song over and over and over again today. And I wept and I cried because I know that if I could talk to all of you, to every person that writes us, I would say, you just got to keep going on. You cannot turn around. Don't look back. And we now to just keep going and believing and walking in faith. In fact, we got to stand on the Word of God. And in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29 is one of my favorite scriptures. I have hundreds of favorite scriptures, mind you. But it's not the word like, is not the word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. God's word is powerful. We need to stand on it. We need to believe in it. And let me take you also to another story to emphasize this. And that's in 1 Kings chapter 18. And that's a scripture that many of didn't know the Bible and never had any religious training of any sort and never been exposed to it. But it's about Elijah and Ahab. And Elijah knew that he had summoned the people from all over Israel to meet him on Mount Carmel. And he wanted Ahab, a king, to bring the 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah. I'm not going to get into that, but let me just read, starting with verse 20, and let me just read this. I hope you'll read it with me through with your Bible. But the question to me is how important we need to stand strong. That's what I keep saying. Bob keeps saying, don't give up, don't give in, stand strong. But the question that Elijah asked, he said to them, he went before the people in verse 21, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. And I'm asking you, if God has spoken to you, if he's given you promises, if he's given you scriptures, if he's given you billboards or signs on churches, or you've gotten a devotional that's answered your prayers and given you confirmations in a million different ways, and it may even be only confirmation in five ways, it doesn't matter. If God's spoken to you once, a burning bush experience like Moses had, how many times is he supposed to speak to us to tell us over and over and over again, I want you to stand? Quit looking at your spouse. Quit looking at the circumstances. But so this is the example I wanted to use tonight for Scripture. It says, and then Elijah told them to get 400, to tell the prophets to get two bulls for them and let them choose one from themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood but not to set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. Then all the people said, What you say is good. And Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one of the bulls and prepare it first. Since there are so many of you, call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire. So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. O Baal, answer us. They shouted. There was no response. No one answered, and they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them and say, shout louder. Surely he's a god. Perhaps he's deep in thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and maybe he must be awakened. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as that was their custom until their blood flowed. Midday passed and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. And Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, your name shall be Israel. And he built the altar again, and then he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold two seas of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bowl into pieces, laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill four large jars with water. Pour it on the offering and the wood. Water, mind you, people. Do it again, he said. They did it again. Do it a third time, he ordered, and they did it a third time. The water ran down the altar and even filled the trench. And at that time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your commands. Answer me, O Lord. Answer me. So these people will know you, O Lord, our God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Isn't that what we're crying out today? Is that not your cry and my cry and all the 100 people plus tonight that are listening that says, answer me, O Lord, answer me? So these people and my family and my church and all the people at work will know that you are God and that you are going to turn my spouse's heart back my husband, my children back to you, back to our family, back to our marriage? Is that not our heart's cry? It is for Bob and I every day, for you. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. And when all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And dear Standard, that is where I am with you today. I can tell you that I know that I know how hard it is, because I've been there, and I've cried in the middle of the night. I've cried when I come home. I've had to put on a face for my kids so they wouldn't see me. And I've been wounded and hurt. But I know that God is so real. And He has called us to do this. And I know that He heals and resurrects and restores and rebuilds and reconciles and reignites the love and the marriages. We have so many, and you get to read about them each week. But I know that we need to stand firm. We need to walk through the fire, and we need to be able to stand firm and never, never give up. And I guess the biggest concern I have is the wavering, the up and down, because the Lord wants us to stand firm. And yes, we're going to have doubts, and yes, we're going to have the enemy give us thoughts. But as we did a teaching just recently, is we need to know that there's a battle for our mind, and we need to take control of it. We need to know how to fight the battle for your mind and your thoughts. So nothing is too hard with God. He knows everything, and He can help you through everything. And I just pray tonight, as we now are going to open this up to our guest also, that you will learn to be able to walk through the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, the difficulties, and know that when you're weak, you're really strong in the Lord. And you're not by yourself. God is with you all the time. And I hope you'll read 1 Kings again. But the most important thing you all need to do is seek the Lord. And when He speaks to you, write it down. Write it down in a journal on a piece of paper. Forever you'll have it, and you can just pull it back up and say, "Devil, guess what? God spoke to me. He told me on such and such date, and God's going to do it. God's word never fails." And there is time that we have to be patient, and we have to wait on the Lord, but God does not change His mind. God has a plan and a purpose for you, so you just need to keep your eyes on the Lord. And we're just thrilled to have everybody. Now, I'm just going to open this up to our dear people that are our guests. And when I did that teaching, I'm just going to have you all just share maybe a minute comment. But did any scriptures or any experience or anything, did you think something pop up in your mind that you want to share with anybody? And you can, first one that speaks gets the floor first.
Charlene, I can share with everyone that in a time early on in my standing, when I was spending time with the Lord, and I actually was sitting on the beach in Hollywood, Florida, and I asked the Lord to give me a word, and He gave me a Rhema word, which is very strongly impressed upon me tonight, and share this with everyone, to remember in Isaiah 43 where the Lord tells us that when we pass through the rivers that the waters will not overflow us, and we pass through the fire, the flame won't kindle upon us. And that scripture really just, I hold on to that and think of that time and time and time again in circumstances, and just remember that those are one of the precious words that the Lord has given me, and it just helps me to be sustained on a daily basis.
And Beverly, that is not a scripture. That is Isaiah 43, verse 2. Mm-hmm. And it is a scripture that many, many standers have heard before, and is an awesome, awesome scripture.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, well, what I want to do, another scripture I want to share about, is we need to keep our eyes on the Lord, and I cannot think of a better person to talk about is in Matthew, and if we want to turn our Bibles to Matthew 14, is another scripture that we all need to keep our and remember. And I'm just going to do a brief story about this, and because everybody knows the scripture. But it's Matthew 14, verse 22, and this is when Jesus walks, was making the disciples get all into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, and he told all the people that were in the crowd that he had to dismiss them, and he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. How many times did our Lord Jesus get alone to pray to his Heavenly Father? How many times does that mean that we need to get alone and pray to our Lord ourselves? But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, and all of a sudden there was a storm. The waves, the wind, started beating against it. Verse 24, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw them walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. And I think that's the most important words that I could tell you, or Bob can tell you, and we could maybe put on our website every day in flashing lights, take courage, it is I, Jesus is here, don't be afraid. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. Then Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, when he saw the circumstances, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And how many of you are going through circumstances that seem too big for you, that you start to sink in the circumstances and think, you know what? This is not going to work. My Lord is never going to be able to resurrect and restore this marriage. It is impossible. And I know Stacy has had that thought or fear possibly come against her, as many other people in the non-covenants have said and have felt. And you know what he said? Lord, save me. And that's what you need to cry out. And immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And immediately, as soon as you cry out to the Lord, help me, save me, Jesus, rescue me, rescue my spouse, immediately he caught him, and he said, you have little faith, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and then those who were in the boat worshipped him and saying, truly, you are the Son of God. And I think we need to emphasize in, you have little faith, why did you doubt? And I'm just going to turn this to Stacy. I'm going to ask her just to comment just a little bit, because I know she's had to really walk the walk and seek the Lord. But we've all had a crisis come into our lives. But Stacy, maybe there's been one special scripture or one special thought the Lord keeps telling you. But we all have to get to the point that we walk in faith and not in doubt and unbelief. And how did you get there?
Oh, it's a process, isn't it?
It's a day-to-day walk.
It is, and I've come to dislike that word process, but that's what it is. Interestingly enough, a dear friend of my mom's, who has passed to glory and is with the Lord now, when I was a teenager, she spoke a word over me, and the Lord continues to remind me of that word, and who would have ever thought? It's found in Psalm 18, and I'll read it here.
Good.
It's Psalm 18, starting at verse 32. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stood down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath my feet, so that my ankles do not turn. And the Lord just, that word keeps coming to me, and that I have the feet of the deer, and that he has broadened my path. It's not easy. You know, I have days that I'm down, and I'm discouraged, and I'm questioning, you know, Lord, why do you allow these things? But then I'm like, wait, you know, I'm not going to let the devil steal my family. And so I just think of that scripture, and then along with other scriptures, but like
exactly.
I said, it is a process, so.
Yes, it is. You just have to keep telling the devil over and over to leave you alone, and so you can walk in faith and and the Lord is wanting to increase your faith each and every day.
Right.
Anybody else? Bob?
Well, this scripture is, it's one that's really stuck with me a long time because it is almost universal, I think, for me when I am really down. I can always trace it to, there may be very good reasons for it, but it's always traceable to me being focused on my circumstances. Often it's when I have an interaction with my wife. And I'm praying, believing that the Lord's at work and going to change something, and I see no evidence of that when I'm interacting with her. And it just takes me down, it just takes me from doing well to just hitting the floor. And, I just have to regather. And, two things that have really helped me. Well, one is just a recognition. Why am I so down? Because often, no circumstances have really changed. It's just that, I've gotten my hopes up. Mm-hmm. And for one, I can get encouraged that my hopes are up because that tells me that I do have faith that God is going to do it. I have to realize that really the circumstance didn't change versus what I knew before. Two things that have been helpful for me. One is to just remind myself, and sometimes I do this with a sheet of paper, I'll write down the problem, the circumstance, and then in one column, but in the other I'll write down either a promise or just a truth, you might put down, I'm so lonely in the column, but in the other column you might write, God has promised to never leave or forsake me. He's with me. I'm not alone. Or you might put a specific circumstance that looks impossible, but then you can put the reminders that nothing is too hard for God, or with God nothing is impossible, or God's hand is not shortened, or any of those scriptures that really speak out to you. Or it might just be, this has been so long, Lord, and then in the truth, it's the truth is that God says he is for us, you can go to any of the amazing promises in Romans 8. And then the other thing that helps me is when I can take his promises and put the words thank you in front of them when I pray them back to the Lord. Thank you that you are for me. Thank you that you are with me. I found that a lot of times when I'm really discouraged, I'm not being thankful. And so even if I'm trusting in his promises, if I'm not thanking him for them, I'm losing a lot of power. But when I put the words thank you and start praying that back to the Lord, I don't often see change. Many times I don't see any change in the circumstances, but my attitude changes almost immediately.
Well, you know what? I agree with you, Bob. And there was a scripture the Lord kept giving me, and it says, rejoice in the Lord always, in Philippians 4. And when Bob and I have been going through the illnesses with our children, he has given me this back again. I told Bob, it wasn't enough that I had to learn it 22 years ago, but I have to learn it again now, and he keeps telling me the same thing. It says, I will say it again, rejoice, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Same thing as you're saying, Bob. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present a request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then it tells us to think of what is true and noble. But Bob, what you just said is that Philippians chapter 4, it's not that the circumstances change, but that the Lord gives you a peace that transcends all understanding, and he'll guard your heart and your mind. And that is something that all of a sudden the thoughts of the horribleness of the circumstances diminish, and the Lord raises up his power.
Yep.
Anybody else?
Well, you said about sharing a promise, and in moments of doubt, we always have to keep our faith. The Word of God says that, in order for the Israelites to be keeping strong, they have to be reminded of all the promises the Lord made and all the fulfillment of the promises and everything that the Lord has done for them in the past. When they went through the Red Sea and when they had the water from the rocks, they were reminded of these things. in order for them to bring back, you know, their spirit to the Lord, because they were falling and being discouraged when they were in trials and tribulations. You know, I went through a time that I was questioning the Lord, you know, am I doing the right thing? I don't understand. You know, why am I waiting for so long, and what is going on, you know? And, you know, I said, maybe I didn't hear the Lord, maybe I never heard the Lord, you know. So one of my friends said to me, you know, why don't you pray in your language? Maybe, you know, it's not getting communication there. And I said, I don't know how to pray in my language, you know, because I never pray in my language, you know. So they gave me a Bible in Spanish. And God was so faithful to me that he brought me to Jeremiah 31:22. And this I've read, because I've read the word in English several times, you know, and it says, how long will you wander, O unfaithful daughter? The Lord will create a new thing on earth. The woman will surround a man. This is what I read in English, you know, several times when I read the whole entire Bible. But when I started reading it in Spanish, the Lord opened my eyes, you know, because the translation in Spanish was, a woman will return to her husband. And that for me was like, whoa. He says, I was so encouraged right then. And he says, okay, Lord, so I didn't hear you wrong. You know, this is, you know, this is good. You know, just now I know what I'm standing. You know, I'm standing. I will return to my husband, you know. You know, it doesn't matter. I have to go through a valley. I have to go through the mountain. You know, I have to go through several trials and tribulations, you know. But the thing is, meanwhile, I'm building character. I'm building strength. You know, I'm getting in the Word, and I get to know the Lord and have the relationship with the Lord that he wants me to have, because for him, he has to be first in my life than anything else. So all the other idols will be gone, you know. And I had my idols, you know, in a different position, you know. Some other things were above anything else. You know, God was not even in the picture, you know. So this was a great promise to me, and I said, okay, Lord, now I get it, you know, now I get it then. You know, I was not crazy, I was not imagining things, you know, this is you talking to me, you know.
Beatrice, I remember when you got that scripture and you showing me it, and I said, there's no doubt, there it is, black and white. And I remember you sharing that with me, and it was so powerful. And when we get promises like that, that's what we have to do. We have to put it in concrete and know that we know that we know. And that is so powerful. And how God speaks to us, and that's what we have to, even though it may be silent for a period of time, never, never stop praying or reading the Word, because all of a sudden, there will be a suddenly when God will speak to you. Do devotions, and God's Word will always never return void, and he will speak to you. But let me, for the last couple, 3 minutes before we go into prayer, Bob wanted us to mention the other person. And I wanted to open up with, I know that it's hard to deal with. Many men and women are having to bring their spouses, or it's the summertime, and everybody's got vacations, and they're having to take their children to the other person's house, or they're around the other person's children, and all of our children are having to go through circumstances that we never thought they would ever have to go through. And the children are the victims. But let me give you a scripture that I think you need to hang on to. It's Matthew 5. It says in verse 43, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? And not even the tax collectors doing that. And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than that? Others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And I'm sure all of us could share about the other person, but could you all do it in about 30 seconds each about how are you getting through it? How has the Lord got you through it?
Well, I'll take a quick, I would say the most important thing for me, this is Bob, is, I bet you knew that,
This is Bob in Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
Bob
thank you.
In Florida.
One thing that I've done from almost the beginning of my stand, both with respect to my bride as well as the other person, is to just ask the Lord daily to remove all bitterness from my heart and just not let it grow. You know, I just ask that He'd remove every speck of bitterness and not let me grow that. And I think He's been very faithful. I'm not saying it never starts to creep, but I try to remember every day to pray that, and I think He honors that prayer. That's what I found.
And I know personally that I allowed anger, bitterness, hatred, and revenge, and unforgiveness, and Bob could say amen to that, I'm sure, but God took me, and He said, you need to forgive them, as we even have billboards now that say that we need to forgive them every day, as Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And these are men and women who are blinded, deceived, and living in sin. It's just as much, and we need to pray for their salvation so very, very much. Anybody else?
Charlene, I can share with everyone just from my circumstances that in not having times of really understanding and in no contact with my spouse and it being quiet, that what really helps me is that I continue to always look to Almighty God and continue to focus on the scriptures He has given me and remembering times of long ago and very quiet, intimate times of really getting to know Him and really in my times of like praising and worshiping and praying and actually praising and using scripture and like singing out loud and praying scripture back to Him. He just has really revealed Himself to me and has really continued to carry me through all these circumstances.
Amen. Amen. Stacy.
Yes, I'm working through that. I kind of go in spurts because my husband lives in another state. So I think I'm going along fine. But then it rears its ugly head when my children have to go visit, and my children will be going to visit next month, and now with the birth of the new baby, and it will be the first time that they'll have seen the baby, it kind of comes back, and I'm just at the point now, I'm like, Lord, you need to remove this. I want to be obedient, but I cannot do this on my own. I want to, but what gets me...
You said it's a process, and I think every day you've got to keep forgiving and forgiving and asking the Lord just to pour that spirit of His love and forgiveness onto you and just keep asking for that. It's not something where we all have arrived. I think we all have to keep praying. As Bob in Pennsylvania said, a daily prayer. And I think that all of us need to do when we have somebody that's hurt us or wounded us. We really need to walk through that spirit of asking God to do it as a daily process.
Right.
Okay, well, you know, I think my husband may be on, but if not, I think what we're going to do now is, as the time has just flown away, maybe we're going to have to make this an hour and a half Bible study in the next time. But let's go into prayer, and let's pray for all the people that are listening and for all the needs that are going to be going on. And let's do popcorn prayers, and just let's keep going as you feel. And just do like one or two sentences, and then we'll just keep going back and forth until Bob is going to close in prayer in just a few minutes. Lord, we just thank You for today, and we just thank You for this Bible study and all the many people that have listened in. And Lord, we just pray that You would touch their hearts and heal that wounded, broken heart. And Lord, we just ask that You would give them hope and encouragement. Increase their faith tonight, that anything that so many people have said or the scriptures they've heard has given them the hope that they need to stand on, that they will never, never give up on their husband or wife. In Jesus' name.
Lord, I praise You that You love every wayward spouse that's represented on the phone tonight more and better than any of we who are standing for them. And Lord, I praise You that You know their hearts and that nothing is too hard for You. And I praise You for the love that You can reignite in the hearts of each of us and in our spouses, and I just pray that you would do that, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that you would touch each heart on the phone tonight and each one that they're praying for, Lord. Touch us all in a mighty way. In Jesus' name I pray.
Yes, Lord. And Lord, I just want to pray Psalm 6, starting at verse 9. It says, "The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer." And then it goes on in verse 10 to say, "All my enemies will be ashamed and dismayed. They will turn back in sudden disgrace." Lord, we just thank you that you have heard our prayers. Lord, we thank you that you are drawing our spouses to you, Father God, as well as our children and other family members who have been affected and impacted by our divorces and our separations, Lord, and the non-covenant marriages and non-covenant children. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you will hear our prayer, that you will turn the hearts of our spouses back to our rightful families, Lord. And Lord, I just also want to pray for special protection over the children who will be going to and forth and back and forth over the summer, visiting the parent that's not in the home. Lord, we pray that you would protect them, that you would have a hedge of protection around them, Lord, and that you would use them to turn the spouse's hearts back, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that you are drawing all prodigals and drawing them back to you in Jesus' name.
Father, wealth and honors come from you, and you are the ruler of all things, and in your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all, Father God. And this night, Father God, I lift up to you all the hearts, Father God, especially the hearts of the children, Father God. I pray that you remove from them anger, Father God. They become hard, and they become so outraged with the situation that they see that their father don't come home and that their mother is out and that the parents are not together, Father God, and they can understand it in their mind, Lord. And when they have to go between houses, Father God, they still get angry, Father God, when they see the situation, and it is so unjust for them, Father God, and they think this is not just, this is not right, you know. Something has to be done, and they become so hardened in the heart, and they start becoming rebellious, Father God. Amen. I pray that you will touch the heart of the children, Lord, that you give them peace, Father God, that they can become closer to you through all these circumstances, Father God, and that they can say, well, we join my prayers to my parents' prayer. We join my prayers to my mom, or I join my prayers to my father, so that, you know, the other spouse can come home instead of being negative. He says, why are you praying? God is not doing anything. You know, there's still the same circumstances, and it's getting worse, and this is happening, and that is happening. Father, I pray that you touch them, Father God, that you give them peace, Father God, that you fill their hearts with your love, Father God, that they feel that you, above all things, love them more than anybody else in the whole wide world, and that they could be secure in your love, Father God. That it doesn't matter what's going on at the moment, Father God, because you, and only you, can fix it all, Father God, because you are the maker and you are the creator of heaven and earth, Father God. Lift up to you all the children, Father God, from the littlest one until the adult one, even those ones that are 20s and 25, Father God, they are still children, Father God, and they still get hard and hard, Father. I pray that you will move into their hearts, Lord, and you take possession of all that temple, Father. I give you praise and I give you honor for all you're going to do in this, Father.
And Heavenly Father, we just lift to you each and every prodigal represented here this evening, Lord. And we just ask you, Lord, for all the prodigals across this nation and across this land and in the world, Lord, that you would continue to send your great spirit of John 6 and 44, Lord, to minister to them. We thank you, Lord, for pursuing each and every one of them and not forgetting any of them. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in their life. And we thank you, Lord, that you also would send your Job 33 ministering angels to them, Lord, as they lay their head down tonight, Lord, that you would speak to the prodigals in a dream and in a vision in the night, Lord, that you would steal instructions in their ears, Lord, and that they would come to repentance and they would cry out to you, Lord. Yes. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in each and every one of their lives, Lord, and may it be for your glory in Jesus' name.
Amen. And Father, I want to add one more thing. I want to give you thanks, Father God, because your word says, and we believe, Father, that you are not a respecter of persons, Father God. We believe, Father God, that what you have told us, Father God, you will do. We believe, Father God, that as you have done it to others, you will do it to all of us, Father God. to all the ones that are standing, Father God, praying, coming to you, Lord, asking them, begging for mercy, Father God,
yes.
Begging for justice, Father God, that the enemy, everything that the enemy has stolen will be repaid to us, Father God.
Amen.
And we thank you, Lord, that you are able to do infinitely more than we can ask or pray or say, Father, in Jesus' mighty name.
Lord, I praise you that you are able to create a new thing on earth, a woman surrounding a man, Lord. I praise you for the wonderful truths in your word, and I just pray that you will bring those truths to each of us in the days ahead, Lord, and help us, encourage us through your word, and bring your word alive in our hearts and in our actions, and Lord, be glorified by what you do by your mighty word in us. And I thank you for preserving it in such a wonderful way for each of us. I pray this in your mighty name, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we recognize that your word does not return void unto you, as it is written in Isaiah 55, Lord, and we hold on to that, Lord. That's a promise for each and every one of us.
Yes,
and we just thank you, Lord, for all your promises that you give us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, that you will just expose all darkness and all hidden things, all secret things, Lord. We pray that this would be a season of truth, Lord. Just, Lord, bring forth the truth, Lord, that the truth may set our beloved spouses who are being held captive, Lord, that they would be set free. We just thank you, Lord, that those chains must come off, that they are being set free to the glory of God. Thank you, Jesus.
Restore unto us the years the locusts have eaten, Lord. We praise you and thank you, Lord, you can do this. This
yeah.
says in the book of Joel 2.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, we continue to cry out to you day and night, Lord. We are coming to you with our just cause, Lord. Thank you that you are our defender, you are our vindicator, you are our healer, you are our provider. We just thank you, Lord, that you created the heavens and the earth and you created marriages and families, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that what you have joined together, let man not separate. We thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you that you are the repairer of the breach. You are the restorer and the reconciler.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that we can pray in agreement. However many are on this phone, Lord, we can all pray in agreement and take hold of the promise that you've given, that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are with us and that we have those things that we have prayed for, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. We know your promises are true, Lord, and we praise you for that, your faithfulness. In Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you for every home represented here tonight. And thank you, Lord, that you give us technology where we can gather from the four corners of our nation tonight, literally, Lord, to share our petitions and to encourage one another. God, I thank you for my wife. As I sat and listened to her teach your word tonight, I think, how could I have ever did what I did to her? And, Lord, there's going to be a lot of other spouses that will have that same thought. If standards just will keep standing and not give up, Lord, you're at work. I read those testimonies every week, and we see time and again the many ways that people are surprised by what you do. God, I pray for the upcoming Father's Day. There are going to be male standards with broken hearts. There's going to be prodigals with broken hearts. God, I ask that you would move mightily this day. Beyond that, Lord, I ask that even now you would start to plant in pastors' hearts that they would preach on Father's Day, not feel-good sermons, but about the permanence of marriage, that they will proclaim that you heal hurting marriages.
Yes.
It's not a system, it's not a shortcut, but Lord, it's you touching a prodigal's life like you did in me. As I wrote for the kids tomorrow, you took the blindfold off of me and I could see what I was doing. God, I pray that will be repeated many times over on this Father's Day weekend. Not for the sake of this ministry, Lord, that doesn't matter. but for the sake of families and for the sake of your kingdom, not now, but for all eternity. God, I just pray that other prodigals can be where I sit now and just say, I'm glad when my work is done on earth, I'm going to heaven because I had a spouse who wouldn't give up. Even when it wasn't popular to pray, when everyone else said he'll never change, she said, let's see what God can do. And Lord, I just thank you for what you have done in my life and in our marriage. God, may you bless everyone who has sat here for an hour and listened to this, all 100 people. May you touch their prodigals, and may you give them something tonight to encourage them. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Bob, in Pennsylvania. Thank you, Stacy, Beatrice, Beverly. We're thrilled all of you joined us, and we just pray you have a blessed week. But remember what we've all learned and taught and read scriptures, and we're just thrilled to have you all visit our home and do a Pompano Beach Bible study on a Monday night. And we did it across the United States, and we just give you all the praise and glory that you joined with us. Now,
do we still get to go to McDonald's tonight, like on a real Monday night after Bible study?
Krispy Kreme.
Yep.
Maybe we can, Bob.
Okay. We attempted last time to all unmute everyone, and everyone prayed the Lord's Prayer together. But someone had their phone music on hold, and so we got to hear music instead. But, honey, can we try that again tonight?
Sure. Will you lead us, honey?
Who wants to lead us? I can barely talk. Bob?
Which version do you use?
you go with the version you know, we'll follow.
Okay.
Our Father. Hang on just a second.
Let me get the right...
You want to wait?
Yeah, just for a second. Okay, all the background noise will have to be loud.
Okay.
Okay.
Our Father,
which art in heaven,
the power and the glory forever and ever.
Amen.
If we can help you in any way, we invite you to visit the website of Rejoice Marriage Ministries at www.rejoiceministries.org. Thanks for joining us today as we proclaim that God heals hurting marriages.